in to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 233 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and Sean Orford. How are you, Sean?
I'm very good, very good, very good.
It's a lovely day, isn't it? Actually, no, it's raining.
Yes, it's the winter.
Can it be lovely and raining at the same time?
If you're in the desert, it's great when it rains.
We're talking about a bit of politics today. I'm going to try my best to be diplomatic. Sean's written a blog post about Brexit.
Wasn't diplomatic?
Yeah, we've talked about this before and received emails about how... I'm conscious that I don't want to offend 52% of our audience, potentially. Anyway, we'll come on to that shortly. We're talking about how we can be happy as a nation and how countries as a whole can work towards happiness. We'll come on to that shortly. liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Take a look for all the show notes and links from this episode, all the previous episodes there as well. Sean wrote a book called Live in the Present, which I designed and helped put together, which you can get a copy of. It's a wonderful book, and you can get 10% off it if you sign up to our mailing list. There's a little discount code within the email you receive once you've signed up. So take a look at that. What have you been up to, Sean?
I've just been away with Ree for her birthday. So we went to Daylesford Farm in the Cotswolds, which is amazing.
Saw some nice photos.
A wonderful place, wonderful food. Had an amazing massage from a Thai lady. Tried to snap me in half, which was great.
Okay. She didn't succeed, though.
No, I'm still here.
You know, I've never had a massage.
Oh, wow.
In all my days.
Thai massage is much more... you had a choice when you filled in the form. Would you like the pressure to be light, medium, or hard? So I went for medium. I am so glad I went for medium, because if it had been hard, I would have been dead. She was a little lady, but God, was she strong.
She like on top of you then? I've got to be careful what I say. Jumping up and down, or using
bending you all over the place, snapping things, and snapping your fingers and your toes and all that kind of stuff, and bending your arms in places I didn't know they went.
But how do you feel now? Well, the day after?
No, it was good. Absolutely brilliant.
Refreshed.
Yeah. I was thinking I should do this every week.
Yeah. Well, you could.
It was good.
Our friend Belinda, paincaremassage.co.uk.
Yeah.
She's just round the corner, isn't she?
Yeah.
Still doing some good work.
Have to drag my body down there.
You must. You've just had a go on the VR headset in the office, eh?
I'm stunned. I'm amazed. Mm. I want one.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah. And it is like you are in a world.
Yeah.
And I'm imagining things like watching television on VR. And actually being inside the program, watching the movie, and being
in it.
Yeah,
games are awesome. But yeah, I think there's a lot of therapeutic possibilities out there.
Yeah. I'm still playing ideas in my mind. I was thinking about if you're training surgeons to be able to actually go into the body and do the surgery, it would be brilliant.
Yeah, interesting technology. A long way to go. It's still early days, because obviously you've got this big cable coming out the back of your head at the moment, and the next version of that headset won't have that, which will free you up a little bit more.
But the idea of going on Google Earth and actually flying over my house and looking...
Special, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And seeing Ree's car outside the front.
it's always funny watching people having a go the first time. If anyone is in the area, on the world, drop me a line.
Yeah.
Well, assuming you know who I am, and you know me reasonably well.
I know who you are.
Now, keen to show it off to people, because it's quite a...
I think it's certainly technology of the future.
Mm.
And one of the things, because we've talked about before, about the development of brains and the idea of depth perception.
Yeah.
And you've got depth of perception on there.
Yeah.
Which can only get better, I guess. Yeah.
For sure. All right.
Yeah.
We'll crack on with this week's show. You've written a blog post, haven't you, in relation to an article you saw about how we can exit Brexit. Oh, hey.
Well,
a dream for us Remainers.
It was German business leaders that were saying, look, this is crazy. You know, that what Britain wanted, the way this all started, it was the issue of borders and people arriving in this country and hooking onto the welfare system and people being offended by that, which I get, it's fine. And what these guys are saying is, why can't the EU just adjust what it does so that Britain can have that bit that it needs? Because Britain is an important player in Europe. And I guess... a lot of what they were saying was to do with business and money. I get that.
Selling cars, isn't it, basically.
But business and money is part of the glue that sticks groups of people together. You know, be trade with each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works, isn't it?
Yep.
So my thing is, could this be an opportunity that... because I'm thinking, where does it come from? Because I'm quite clear about it. And you were saying about losing 52% of our listeners. You know, well, it's like... I completely accept that anybody that wants to leave Europe, I accept their point of view. Personally, I am a European. I am in favour of groups of people, wherever they are in the world, coming together, not separating.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that if Scotland left Britain, that would be a bad thing. But I think that the Scottish voice needs to be heard louder in England.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
it's part of the UK.
Yeah, and the same thing in Europe. I think it's stupid for us to split away from it, but I think that all the states, the member states, the country states, however you want to say it, of Europe need to have a loud voice in the European Parliament so that people feel that they are being represented.
Yeah, I don't want to get too into the nitty-gritty here, but I mean, there's a lot of misconceptions. I've learned so much about how politics, European and domestic, works since the vote. I wish I'd had all this information. I mean, I still would have voted Remain. But I feel like I've learned a lot about how things work. And the UK had a fantastically loud voice within the EU beforehand anyway. You know, a lot of its biggest rules, single market, etc., were kind of devised by us, and all of a sudden we've decided to chuck it out the window by a very slim majority. What I want to talk about, well, as part of this discussion, is an interesting article which I'll link to, about how happiness levels seem to have risen since the vote in the UK in general. There's a BBC article that I'll link to. The headline is that the UK is happier since Brexit. So the stats don't really bear that out, because it's got this kind of line of well-being, happiness in work, or these three or four lines, and they were all rising in the 3 or 4 years before the vote anyway, and they have continued to rise, which is good. So I don't see how the article's a bit misleading, the headline. I don't think Brexit is necessarily the cause. Maybe it is. Although anxiety levels are on the rise over the last 2 years in the UK. Do you think we're getting happier as a nation?
What I'm picking up in the consulting room is an increase in anxiety. And that isn't related to Brexit, it's related to life. I mean, I'm sure some of it's related to Brexit. One of the interesting things about being away over the weekend, everywhere we went, whether it was restaurants, whether it was the spa at Daresford Farm, all that kind of stuff, everybody was a European, as opposed to not being British.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm thinking...
What do you mean, the workers were what, from overseas?
Everybody. Everybody that was serving, the people that were all the therapists in the spa, everybody came from Central Europe.
Yeah.
There were French people, Italians in the restaurants, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, will all these people go? Is that going to be the end of that?
What's surely not.
You know?
Surely not. It's just a kind of reputation thing, isn't it, really? It's kind of embarrassing.
But in the NHS, we have this problem where we've lost something like 10,000 European nurses already,
mm-hmm.
you know, because people are going.
Applications are down, was it 90% or something crazy like that, I think?
Because I listen to the farming programmes, I get up at the crack of dawn on Radio 4, so when I'm in the shower, the amount of businesses that rely on workforce coming from Poland, coming from different parts of Europe, who are now getting scared because they can't... They have people that are skilled, they've been going there for years.
Yeah, no, and I've seen this stuff about, you know, food rotting in the fields and all that, because part of me feels a bit guilty about that, because, okay, my lads are, well, one of them's at school, and they're going to be trading for hopefully decent, inverted commas, decent jobs in the coming 10, 15 years down the line. So part of me feels guilty because, okay, there's going to be all these jobs in agriculture where... fruit picking, working on farms, etc. But then they're not good enough jobs for my boys but they're okay for the. It's okay for folks to come over from Europe to do them. I feel a bit guilty about that. I don't know how I can reconcile that.
Maybe I get that, but maybe the problem that we have is because we make the distinction, isn't it? If people want to come from anywhere in Europe to go anywhere in Europe to work, why is that not okay? It's okay for us to do that. Mm-hmm. It's like the hundreds of people, thousands of people that are living in France and Spain that are British. Yeah, it's okay for them to do that. Why is it not okay for other people to come here and do that? You know?
What are your reasonings and thoughts on how that we got to the point where we were even able to have the vote to leave this?
I think because we got this bit of water in between us and the rest of Europe is a good thing in one sense. You know, it keeps rabies out. But it cuts other things off. Because if you're in a landlocked country, the borders around you is things that people come over. When you've got the water, it's a big deal.
Yep.
And so the tunnel and the ferry and all that kind of stuff. And then the Brits are very good. We all are. We do the, you know, Brits are better than everybody else stuff. The British Empire, Britain rules the waves, all that kind of stuff. Rule Britannia. And yeah. I get it. There's nothing wrong with being proud about who you are, but not being proud about who you are to the cost of other people. Yeah? So, I mean, I would like us as Europeans to have pride in Brussels, to have pride in Paris, to have pride in, you know, anywhere, Germany, Italy, wherever. If it's us, because that's the issue, it's us and them.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I've got that in my notes there. That's one of the things that galls me the most about already people talking about them, the Europeans, but we are still in the EU.
We are Europeans.
And we still are. We created all this framework and all these rules that have...
Yeah.
Some people feel a bit hamstrung by and they've gone too far and there's too many people coming to this country, but we created all these rules. And certainly on the migration stuff, I think there's quite a lot of myths out there about how this freedom of movement works. It's not as free as people might think. There are so many Europeans have come to this country to work because we needed them and because we allowed them. There's plenty of other European nations in the EU that don't allow it to quite the same extent.
So. But also there are the issues of if you're going to run as a European community, there are things that we got wrong, and we did get things wrong about interest rates and benefit rates and pension ages and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But because those things were wrong and they need adjusting so everybody comes into line, so it's not more attractive to go over to this bit of Europe than that bit of Europe because it's all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then that need for people to move around in the same way diminishes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, for me, we don't need to get out. We need to adjust it so it works better. But if we could make Europe work, I mean, America kind of works, which is the same kind of federal
system. Yeah, similar kind of system, isn't it, really?
Yeah. So if they can do it and we could do it, couldn't we actually get the world to do it and actually stop some of the strife and the conflict?
Yeah.
You know, it has to start somewhere.
Yeah, it does seem like quite a step back. I mean... What was I going to say? Yeah, one of the things I think is the issue with the kind of the whole Brexit movement and the people that are leading it at the moment, there still doesn't seem to be any kind of clear goal or mission statement for where we're going to be in 5-10 years down the line. Whereas one of the things I quite like about the EU is that it does have, you can Google it, a really clear mission statement about what it wants to do. You might not necessarily agree with it, but in terms of sharing prosperity around a huge area of, 500 million people are attempting to, at least. Freedom of movement, people being able to live and work anywhere. It's a fantastic ideal, I think.
But the issue about being British is that we see that as us and them, because everybody wants to come to us. But any of the Brits can go anywhere in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the same deal.
Well, no, I mean, in my family as well, we've benefited hugely from it. My brother studied Italian at university and then hopped over to France for a little bit, and then he lived in Italy for 4 or 5 years working, then he hopped over to Madrid, worked there for 6 years, then he hopped back to Rome for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't without its kind of red tape, especially in Italy. I think it was kind of a bit of a massive pain in the backside getting just like a bank account set up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, met his then-girlfriend, who is actually Colombian but became a Spanish citizen in Madrid. They lived in Italy for a bit longer, and now they're back in the UK, in London, working. And it's a beautiful band. And then that has culturally enriched our family so much, because we popped over to see them both, you know, at various points.
How does Brexit affect her status of residency and stuff like that?
Well, it's up in the air, isn't it? Because they are married now, but even so, that's not... It's not a done deal. I mean, everyone's assuming that she'll be allowed to stay because we're a forward-thinking nation, aren't we? But it's the fact that it's up
are
in
we?
The air.
Are
yeah, apparently. The fact that it is up in the air at all is really galling for me, because I've got this wonderful sister-in-law she's got a job here, working in London, really well-qualified, loves it. And she probably will be able to stay, but it's just that 2% chance that she might get booted out. Or that they've got to fill out some huge 20-page document and pay money for her to stay when the rules do change. I can't accept that at all, man. It just really, it annoys the hell out of me. It makes me really angry.
Yeah. So, but for me, the issue is when you have fragmentation of any group of people, so you end up with factions, that's when you end up with the strife and the conflict and the us and them, which has led to all the wars that we've had and all the wars that we continue to have.
Yeah. So, but are we, you and I right now at this moment, are we fragmenting yet more because we're kind of pushing against the 17 million people that won the vote narrowly?
The way I see it is that there's a consequence to action, and there will be a consequence to what we're doing. Now, I personally don't see that consequence as being to our benefit in the long term. Yeah. I could be wrong. I'm just a person with a voice.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm not a politician. I'm not a financial expert. I deal with people. And I know what makes people feel good and secure. It's to do with belonging and feel safe. You know, that's what it is. When you take away the belonging and the safety is when we get anxiety, depression, and we get stress.
So how can our side of the argument win that battle? Because before, in the week leading up to the referendum... And in fact, a couple of days beforehand, Mr. Farage stood in front of that poster with the refugees snaking round in the background, and what was the tagline on it? Breaking point.
Right.
So he was trying to make people feel as if they voted to leave, that they would be safer, more secure, job prospects would be better, that they would be richer. They won the argument on that, really. But he was lying through his teeth, and he's an absolute idiot. And if I saw him in the street, I'd probably... grab him by the scruff of his neck. I would not assault Nigel Farage, but verbally I might do. So how can we win the argument and not be accused of telling, you know, trying to project fear and all that lark?
I don't think that I'm talking about fear. I'm talking about the realities of what happens when people don't work with each other. Yeah, now, any group of people can separate out and say, we are better than you and we don't want you on. You know, and that could be a religious group, it could be a racial group. Even within religions, we have the Protestants and the Catholics, you know, that are all saying, we are better than you, so we are us and you are them. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of division. And one of the things for me is that if we can work together, we need to celebrate the diversity that we have between us. Isn't it wonderful that people have different ideas? But it's what we would call the law of allowing in the work that we've done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I cannot understand a positive take on not being in Europe. I know that we need to change Europe, and I'm not saying Europe is perfect, because it's not. It's a work in progress.
Well, we still are a European country. You're talking about the EU specifically, yeah, as an organisation.
Well, the bottom line is that we're a little island off the mainland of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not a great ruling power that we once were. Yeah?
Yep.
And that's the reality of life. You know, when I was young 100 years ago, most of the globe was pink, which was ruled by the UK.
Yep.
You know? And it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're not that thing. You know, we need to learn to work with people rather than do things to people, which is what we've always done.
Yeah, yeah, we can never return to that, because the methods we used, however well-intentioned, are not acceptable anymore.
Yeah. But the idea that we were doing people a favour by going and taking over their country and giving them our values was like we were the good guys.
Yeah.
You know, well, now when you look at that, maybe that wasn't so good.
Yeah. Yeah. We're good guys, though, aren't we?
Oh, we are. Yeah, yeah. We should rule the world, wouldn't we?
Well, did you see the world in 2030? Because, I mean, from my point of view, I think the turmoil and the chaos potentially is just getting started. If you look at, in terms of technological advancement, climate change is, even if you don't think it's getting any warmer or hotter or wetter, the strain on resources for oil in a place like Doha, actually, Qatar, where you're spending a lot of time, in the Middle East, as oil dependency drops.
Any of those areas, isn't it?
We've got some big changes coming, man, haven't we?
Yeah.
Artificial intelligence could, if predictions are right, in 10, 15 years could have a significant impact on our lives. It could be for the positive, and it potentially will be, really. But whether or not people are up for change. Maybe we've just had too much change too quickly recently. What do you think?
I think that change is exponential. You know, my adopter granny, Edna, was saying she didn't understand what I did because when she was born, which would have been at the turn of the century, 1900 something, she was saying that in Scotland, where she lived, you didn't go further than you could go there and back on a horse and cart in a day, because that was the way it worked. There was no television, no radio, no telephones, nothing.
Yep.
Yeah, there would have been the telegraph and the post.
And now you can stick on a headset and fly across the globe anywhere you want.
Yeah.
Now, there's a cool stat about average distances that between married couples, like before they were married, so before the invention of the bicycle, it was like a mile, and then the bike got invented and it was 8 miles average distance between partners, and then obviously the car came out and that stretched it to crazy amounts. And my brother was, well, as he was growing up in Lorena, they were probably 4,000 or 5,000 miles apart.
Yeah. Well, if I'm in Qatar, then it's like 5,000 miles, isn't it? So I'm talking to Ree over.
In some ways, I mean, kind of, I hate Brexit philosophically, but I don't think it will actually change things too much on kind of the 15-20 year scale, because we're still moving in this direction where we are getting closer together, where people are working together more, and the world is getting. I've got a link that I'll put in the show notes about showing graphs about how the world is and has been getting loads better for 20, 30, 40 years, longer even, in terms of health levels, education and literacy, diseases dropping, that kind of thing.
Yep.
We're moving in the right direction. I think we're just at this kind of crunch point, aren't we, where we need to make some
tough decisions.
Tough calls and decisions.
And it's one of those that only time is going to tell.
Yeah.
Isn't it? You know, the right side of this argument, or maybe there isn't a right side, there is just the consequence of what we do.
Yeah. So what's the perfect world look like for you 50 years down the line?
A world where there would be only one currency throughout the world.
Oh, yeah, I've got that on my list there, single currency.
So kind of throughout the world, so there's no exchange rate issue.
I'm just checking the Bitcoin price on my watch here, see how it's doing overnight.
And no people doing Bitcoins.
and that comes up.
Because the people on the money markets do control so much, to whose benefit?
Yeah.
You know, so I would like one currency, and I would like that John Lennon idea of imagine there's no countries. Imagine we're all, you know, one group of people working together. Okay, we need points of local responsibility and sort of government-y kind of stuff. We need that. But stop this kind of us and them bit.
Mm.
You know, whether it's religion, whether it's colour, whether it's race, whatever it is, you know, that we all work together. That way human beings will survive. The issue, there are lots of people, if you look at the evolutionist lot, that say that we've already passed the point, you know, we're heading towards extinction already.
Mm.
And there are lots of people that believe it's too late, we've gone too far.
Yep.
You know.
Who knows? I don't know. Has it always felt like crunch time for humanity? It feels like at the moment we're in kind of this 15, 20, 30 year, especially with the climate change stats that I read, which we need to do an episode on, actually, in terms of anxiety levels around by the end of the century, we've got to make some big changes, or long before that, actually.
But there's all kinds of issues in that.
When but the people 50 years ago think, oh, this is the end, but 10 years from now it's all going to be changed.
I don't know, if you went through a world war for 6 years, then probably you'd be thinking, you know, will this ever end?
Yeah.
You know, will we all be dead at the end of it?
The Cold War, wonder that was a bit of a squeaky bum time.
Yeah. But what those kinds of things like, when you start to look at it practically, that for the human being to survive and for global warming to maybe calm down a bit, there's things like everyone's got to stop eating meat. If you just look at the stats.
Yep.
You know, there's all kinds of decisions that people are going to have to come to, whether we have meat substitutes or whatever we do.
Yep.
But the world does have to change, or the world will change us if we can't change
ourselves. The world doesn't care either way. The globe will keep spinning, and if it gets a bit warmer, it doesn't mind. It'll just take its coat off.
Which would just be like the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
You know, we were here once kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm on board with that most of the stuff. I'm quite keen on single currency, no borders. I quite like multi-planetary thing to get going quite soon. I'd like to have bases on the moon and on Mars where there's a little pods of humanity spreading our wings.
Is that so that when we've messed this up, we've got somewhere to go?
Yeah, I like Elon Musk's thing about having a backup hard drive for humanity is quite important, I think. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But so, yeah.
Less cars, not more, you've written down there.
Yeah, well, that was actually... I mean, we see it. My local politician, Alice McGovern, she's fighting hard for the Vauxhall plant down the road. There's a lot of people work there, obviously, but there's no version of the, like, getting to zero emissions for climate change that does not require a huge drop in the number of cars. So we're going to be producing less cars, there's going to be less of them on the road, and it's win-win, except for the people that work and rely on money from that industry.
But how are people going to move around if there's less cars?
Well, there's going to be car ride-sharing, Uber, electric Ubers. So you won't own a car. This is the thought process. You'll just get your app out and you'll just get the nearest one. It'll come and get you and it'll drop you off and then it'll go off and do its next journey. Because cars, for 90%, 95% of their lives, a car just sits on your driveway or in a car park and it's not efficient.
There's a lovely thing. You know these copters that people are using?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen the two-man one?
Yeah,
that's been done?
The finally flying cars. I don't think that'll happen.
Can you imagine? But they're electric, aren't they, these ones?
So yeah, it's got to be electric, all electric, but then we've got to figure out how to make all that electricity in a clean and efficient way. No more coal power stations, no gas power stations.
It's hard to imagine a world without transportation.
Yeah, no, we'll still get around, but we've just got to do it without leaving a big cloud of dust behind us.
Yep.
More cycling as well, of course.
Yeah,
do me a bit there.
So how were you doing in the cycling today with the weather being a bit...
Yeah, fine, it was all right, as long as it's not too heavy. I quite like a mild, just a bit of drizzle just to help keep me cool. I had this like 200 metre stretch coming through Birkenhead. It's not usually this bad where, like, literally 3 or 4 times I nearly died. First of all, a lorry pulled out on me from some industrial unit, didn't see me, I braked. Coming up to the junction after that... another car kind of cut across me. Luckily, I spotted it. Over the roundabout to the next one, a bus pulled out in front of me at a roundabout. Literally, like, I had to stop 50 centimetres from this bus. And then going on down the road, it didn't kill me, to be fair, but a car just kind of went past me and then cut straight across me again, like, leaving me...
I need to buy you a rechargeable air horn. Did I tell you about that when I was cycling? It was on an aerosol canister. But it was really, really loud. I mean, it made people's sphincters twitch when you pressed it. And if anybody cut me up or did anything, I gave them a few blasts and they did enough jump.
All right. I try and stay polite as possible. Last night, I put my hand out to go right at a junction and kind of move to the centre of the lane. And for some reason, he saw it fit to kind of drive around me and then immediately in front of me and stop. So I kind of gave him a little shout and he gave me a funny look. I try not to shout at drivers too much. Just give us a metre and a half, drivers of the world. That's all we want, a metre and a half when he passes, okay?
Yeah.
That's all.
That's fair enough.
Right, I feel quite good after getting all these rants off our chest. Do you feel better?
Yeah, I'm rantless now.
Hopefully 52% of our listeners aren't too offended. But ultimately we're all working towards the same goals, I hope, aren't we?
Yeah, and the deal is if we do come out and Brexit is a reality... then we have to make that work. I mean, you can only make that work by coming together.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, cool. Someone's calling me on my watch.
Yeah.
About that, the future.
Yeah. So you got your watch back. Are you happy with your watch?
I am, yeah. I've reined it in a little bit in terms of how much I use it now. I used to kind of track all my rides and stuff and try really hard to get all my rings closed for my activity for the day. I don't bother with that anymore. Mm-hmm. But it's dead nice. I do like it. Yeah, it's
very good.
Yeah, are you going to jump on board the Apple Watch?
I don't know.
It's the only thing you're missing, isn't it?
Mm.
What's your Fitbit?
I suddenly realised I had all these lovely watches I wasn't wearing, so I've dropped the Fitbit for the moment. So I'm just wearing my nice Ted Baker's.
Very nice. Mm. Have you got results for us?
Yeah, and it's on Amazon. It's a book.
Oh, Nick Clegg's book
by Nick Clegg, which says "Stop Brexit."
Ah, yeah, I saw that. Hopefully someone will get it me for Christmas. Probably not my dad.
You were looking at me like that.
It doesn't have to be you. Cool. I actually haven't got a resource. I forgot to put one in, but just follow me on Twitter because I'm... the resource is me because I'm retweeting and liking things all the time. That you kind of,
about Brexit.
About Brexit. Yeah, yeah. Clever little ways we can stop it, slow it down. Yeah, we'll see how we go that way.
Yeah. Okay, so are you saying next week we're doing climate change?
Shall we? Yeah. Have another good rant about that.
Yeah.
What people can do. Because there's certain things, like minimising the amount of meat you eat that can help quite a bit. But we'll dive into that and do a bit more research.
I came across some scary research while we were away. I was just reading through stuff. The egg yolk can be as damaging to your arteries as smoking cigarettes.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting research about how...
We've got a food expert in our office here. Mike, he's into stuff like that, so we can
check the research out, we'll plug into him.
Yeah. Let us know. Okay, cool. Right, livingthepresent.co.uk, show notes and links there. Check out our book as well. It doesn't mention Brexit at all. You'll be happy to know. In the meantime, have yourselves a good week.
Yep, you take care.
See you, Sean.
Bye.
Bye.